is the chief reason why so much advertising never quite makes it. It won't stick its neck out. You've got to stick your neck out. To put out good advertising, it helps if you have a theatrical ego. That's to say, a streak of ham a yard wide and more brass than a $2 trombone. I know of no outstanding advertising that is not directly traceable to a very strong ego. Indeed, assuming the presence of talent, a powerful ego is the principal adjunct to effective creativity in advertising, as in other arts. It also helps if you own the agency. I'm quite serious about that. Have you ever noticed that almost all effective, most all outstanding advertising comes from creative dictatorships? I bet you if you took the 10 most outstanding ads of the past 10 years, you find it all stems from a creative dictatorship, probably from one man. Let's say if you took the 10 most outstanding ads, I'd say they probably all stem from three men. All 10 of them. It's not necessary to absolutely control an agency, but it is necessary to have absolute creative control of your work if one hopes to put out consistently good advertising. My advice to promising, ego-ridden young creative people is invariably the same. Look around your agency for an account that nobody else gives a damn about, grab it, and run like hell to your cubicle. I've made several references to the theater. This is not accidental. I believe the theatrical temperament to be very close psychologically to whatever goes into the makeup of a good creative person in advertising. Ideally, it is not enough to be either a writer or an artist. You have to have something of an actor in you as well. If you don't, advertising is not a very rewarding field aside from the money. By this I mean that advertising bestows no prestige, except paradoxically, on those who have nothing to do with its creation. It is the least respected of the arts. Its creators enjoy an artistic social position roughly comparable to that of actors 100 years ago, but without either the pride of an ancient craft or the pleasure of working with magnificent literature to carry them through. A drama critic once observed that he could understand everything about actors except why they did it. We could ask the same thing about advertising people and get the same answer. Because it fills their peculiar ego needs. I can't imagine why anyone would be an actor or a creator of advertising, except that it provides him with something, a power to sway, perhaps, that he can't find otherwise. This, in advertising as in acting, is at best a vicarious satisfaction, since one is always playing the role of somebody else, the client. And perhaps this is why so many advertising men, as so many actors, get fed up and wander off into other things. There's something else, of course. Aside from the theater, I know of no other field as cruelly intolerant of misfits or has-beens. How many old advertising men do you know? My partner, Joe Weiner, was once interviewed by a client seeking a new advertising agency. It turned out he took two of them. This man said, "I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Mr. So-and-so, the president of a prominent New York agency. The same question I asked Mr. So-and-so last week. Where would you like to be 10 years from now?" Joe asked him, "Well, what did Mr. Byrne, what did Mr. Birnbach say?" And the client replied, "He said that he wanted to have one of the 10 largest agencies in America. Now, what is your ambition, Master Weiner?" Joe answered, "To get out of the advertising business." "Is this my ambition, too?" "I suppose so, but for now it fills my own ego needs, I guess. I rather enjoy role-playing. In spite of everything I've said about creative philosophies, I feel myself suspiciously on the point of giving you mine. Okay, this is the way I look at it. I don't know how many of you have seen our ads, but if you have, you may have noticed that Almost all of them are in the first person, though plural, to be sure. This is acting, pure and simple. We smear on the grease paint and get out there and play the client's role. We also have the pleasure of writing the script, directing it, producing it, and designing the sets. Now, isn't that splendid? There's no business like show business. As long as I've gone this far, I may as well try to define something of the nature of creativity itself. I ran into this quotation the other day. It seems to me to depend on what Gregory Bateson calls a nameless, shapeless, unlocated hope of enormous achievement. We have to be, he says, like those few artists and scientists who work with this urgent sort of inspiration, that urgency that comes from feeling the great discovery or great creation, the perfect sonnet, is always just beyond our reach. In conclusion, having spent much time touting the virtues of entertainment in advertising, I should like to end up with a word of caution, a quotation from Saki. In baiting a mousetrap with cheese, always leave enough room for the mouse. Thank you.
Howard, I hope that you'll entertain questions because I know there'll be several.
Really?
Yes.
I know, Howard, so this probably might be a little inside type joke or question. I'll try to make it a question. I'm Ray Pat, and now that you have your own agency, Howard, how would you handle bathroom tissue today? Is that fair?
Yeah. Did everybody fully understand the question?
I think I'd handle it the same way I handled it before. When actually confronted with the problem, you may recall that this is back in the days when Stan Freberg and I were first working together. We put out some very amusing, situational radio spots, and they worked very well. And I think about all you can do there is to be as entertaining as possible. Although, I mean, that's all I could do. I noticed that there are other schools evoking emotion. you know the tenderness of a mother with a baby. You just know that she wouldn't harm that child, and the only thing, of course, she can do is to, well.